Professor Suzanne J. Davis has been teaching at Brigham Young University for over 28 years. Her educational background includes a bachelor's degree in dance and a master of science in health science, both earned at BYU. She's received various awards for her scholarship in teaching and has been a presenter at national and regional conferences in 15 states. She has toured with the International Folk Dance Ensemble as a dancer, tour manager, or artistic director in many countries, often living with host families and studying their art forms, especially dance. Currently, Suzanne is serving as chair of the Heritage Committee of the National Dance Association and on three national committees. She's also serving on three state-level committees for the arts selected by the Utah Arts Council. This past year, she was elected co-chair of the BYU's Faculty Advisory Council. Professor Davis has just returned from China, where she presented and adjudicated at a Chinese government-sponsored national conference on dance. Sister Davis has served in numerous church positions. She's been a lecturer and activity specialist for church dance programs worldwide. She's currently senior chorister in the Orem Sunset Heights Fourth Ward Primary. She's married to Dr. James N. Davis, and they are the parents of three children. Professor Davis.
I am delighted to be here with you today to share my personal experiences and feelings of the heart. I do appreciate Brother Hurtado's rendition, so beautifully sung, of I Am a Child of God, and I will talk about that topic a little later. This is certainly a humbling experience to stand before you and discuss feelings of my heart. It is both an honor and a challenge to speak during this devotional time set aside on our campus to focus on things of the Spirit. Would each of you say a prayer in your heart that I will be able to touch your spirit, that you will be able to come closer to the Savior? I wish to direct my remarks today on keeping our spiritual wells flowing. If each of you does a personal evaluation, how would you score on a scale of 1 to 10 at living the gospel principles to the very fullest? If you are like me, you have varying degrees of success depending on the day. It is my goal today to help all of us come closer to our Father in heaven through living gospel principles. There is a story of a man who was traveling across desert terrain and saw a road that looked as if it would be a shortcut. A posted sign warned against traveling on it because it had no services available. The man decided to take the road anyway. After a time in the extreme heat, his car stopped in the middle of the desert. Off in the distance, the man saw a grouping of houses, and he hoped that help could be found there. After he had walked for some time, he realized it was farther than he had anticipated. He kept walking in the hot sun until he reached the ghost town. No one could be found there. Only a few old buildings survived. In the middle of the town, the man saw a water pump. He rushed over and quickly started to pump the old rusty handle to get whatever water was available. Nothing happened. As he looked down, he saw a metal can with a piece of paper bearing scrawled handwriting on. The note said there was a bottle of water under a rock nearby, and if all the water was poured into the pump hole, the well would flow forth with abundance. The man had come to the decisive moment. Should he choose to drink the only water available and not from the pipe, or should he put the water into the pump so that the well would flow again? His lack of faith would not allow him to put the water in the well. Instead, he took his chances. He drank the last bottle of water and staggered off, hoping that someone would find him and lead the next person to find no water or chance of survival. I feel this is much like the decisions we make daily. We must decide whether we will fill our spiritual wells with things of the Spirit, thereby saving ourselves and others, or draw from other wells, never filling them with more light and knowledge, and finally, not reaching the spirituality that we could. Each of us has our own well to fill. How do we keep our spiritual wells flowing? It is, I feel, by building a strong testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our Heavenly Father. Each day should bring us opportunities to build upon our existing testimonies and fortify to a greater degree our belief in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our testimony of the gospel is one of our precious possessions. It will bring us closer to our Savior and guide our thoughts and actions. A testimony is of utmost importance. In Moroni 10, 1 through 7, we find the formula for receiving a testimony. These scriptures tell us how to gain a testimony about the Book of Mormon, but is also a formula that can be followed to build a testimony about any gospel principle. First, read and study about the principle. Second, ponder the ideas in your heart and receive a feeling. Third, put yourself in a frame of mind where you can accept the will of your Heavenly Father. Fourth, strive for a sincere heart, having real intent and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fifth, ask God in the name of Jesus Christ if the knowledge pondered is true. And sixth, recognize the promptings and feeling manifest to you by the Holy Ghost. Each of us chooses to strengthen our testimony on a daily basis. With regard to a personal testimony, President Harold B. Lee said, "The strength of this church is not to be measured by the amount of money paid as tithing by the faithful members, nor by the total membership of the church, nor by the number of chapels or temple buildings. The real strength of the church is to be measured by the individual testimonies to be found in the total membership of the church." As a professor in the Department of Dance, I have had many wonderful opportunities for my personal testimony to grow, as I have traveled all over the world to share the universal language of dance. It has also been my privilege to see dedicated and humble students at Brigham Young University, part of our performing companies, who govern their lives with sound gospel principles and shine as a light unto the world. As we tour, we are often hosted by sponsors in other countries who have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But the light that shines from the eyes of our students as they perform on stage always attracts their attention and brings questions from the viewers. Why are these students so happy? Why do they seem to be so close together as a group and care for each other? Why do they have such a sense of worth? Why would they spend their valuable time to come to some of these remote places and share their talents? All of the answers to these questions are tied to gospel principles. The touring program at the university is designed to bring the gospel message to people all across the globe through talents of music, song, and dance. Regarding talent, President Joseph F. Smith said, "Every son and every daughter of God has received some talent, and each will be held in strict account for the use or misuse for which it is put. We are each responsible to develop our talents and use them to help to further the work of the Lord. Through the talent of dance, we are able to become closer to others. As these young students tour, they're able to share their testimonies verbally, by example, as they live with these kind people who are their hosts, and as they perform on stage and display their God-given talents. As each of us on the tour serves, we gain testimonies and our talents increase. Our spirits are fed by so many saints and individuals as we meet around the world. Let me relate such a story. As I was touring with the International Folk Dancers as a performer many years ago, and Mary B. Jensen, founder and first director of the Folk Dancers, I stayed in a very modest apartment in Sweden with a middle-aged couple and their two children. Their home was of humble means, but they had a special spirit of love towards us because we were members of the church. I had told the sister how much I admired her beautiful old concert piano. She shared with me that they would soon not have the piano. It had been an heirloom in the family from her parents, and all of her brothers and sisters had wanted the piano, but her parents had left it to her because she played so beautifully. When I asked her why she would not have the piano, she said, "We have a buyer for it, and we are going to use the money to go to the Swiss temple to be sealed for time and all eternity and be able to do work 1 week for the dead." The price for a temple experience far outweighed the precious meaning of the piano for this dear sister. It was a sacrifice for her own family, but a worthwhile one. What a lesson this was for me. I have often thought back to that experience, and I always feel a deep sense of appreciation for the opportunity I have to visit temples all over the world and to go within their hallowed halls. We living in Provo can be to 8 temples within 2 hours driving time. The Logan, Ogden, Bountiful, Salt Lake, Jordan River, Mount Tippinogas, Provo, and the Manti temples. Only the St. George Temple is farther than 2 hours away. On November 2, 1997, we will have the Vernal Temple dedicated, our 10th temple in Utah. It will service over 36,000 saints in the area. What a blessing! The Vernal Temple will be the 51st operating temple of the church. There will be 27 temples in the United States and 24 spread throughout the world. We are a temple-going people. These temples all help us to strengthen our testimonies and bring us closer to our ancestors and to God. Our prophet, Gordon B. Hinckley, has said, "Each temple built by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints stands as an expression of the testimony of this people, that God our Father lives, that He has a plan for the blessing of His sons and daughters of all generations." Last summer, as I was touring with international folk dancers on a professional development leave, we all had the experience of meeting with the temple president in Stockholm, Sweden, where the saints of the church in 1985 had their temple dedicated. He shared with us that the fact that the temple district is very large. They have members come from as far away as Serbia and Russia, or Siberia, Russia, 5 long hours away from the temple. Five long days of travel away from the temple. These visitors have little means, and so the saints in the areas help house and care for them. The temple presidency sets aside the time for the Russian church members to do work for a week and conduct all the sessions in the Russian language. What a unique and wonderful experience for all those involved. But what a lot of sacrifice for these dear saints who travel so far and those who help host them as guests over long periods of time. Opportunities like these fill their spiritual wells. Those of us who are worthy to visit the temple, surely we who live in this area can appreciate more the closeness of our Father's houses, where we can frequently grow in wisdom and truth and light. There are many other ways to build our testimonies and sensitize our spirits. Daily prayer, reading and studying the scriptures, attending our Sunday services, reading out of the best books, following the promptings of the Spirit, serving others, striving to be a good example of gospel living, sharing our talents and gifts, attending the many uplifting firesides and devotionals on this campus, treating our earthly bodies as temples, and following the guidance of our prophet, Gordon B. Hinckley. These are just a few principles, but because all of us are so individual, we all need to work on various challenges. One gospel principle may be difficult for one person to follow, while another principle may be more challenging for someone else. The important fact is, however, that we are diligently working to strengthen our testimony, and we will benefit most from this. If we are to build our testimonies, we cannot do it without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost should be our closest companion. He is a member of the Godhead. Heavenly Father Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost comprise this Godhead. They are unified in purpose, but each has an important responsibility concerning the plan of salvation. Our Heavenly Father is our Father and ruler. Christ is our brother and Savior, and the Holy Ghost is the revelator and testifier of all truth. Even though He is a spirit, He has the form and likeness of a man. He can only be in one place at a time, but His influence can be felt everywhere at the same time. Because He has no body, He can dwell in us to help guide and direct us in paths of righteousness. He is our Heavenly Father's messenger and is a sacred gift to each of us. In Moroni 10:5, we read, "And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. What a promise! It is through the Holy Ghost that we know that Jesus is the Christ and our Savior, and that our Father in heaven lives, that the church has been restored in these latter days. The Holy Ghost helps us to fulfill our divine potential and sanctifies us to meet God one day. He purifies our hearts so that we no longer wish to be partakers of evil. He will be with us on His terms, however. If we do not strive to obey the commandments of God and keep our thoughts and actions pure, we will not have this wonderful spiritual power to help us. Joseph Fielding Smith said, "When a man has the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it leaves an indelible impression on his soul, one that is not easily erased. It is spirit speaking to spirit, and it comes with a convincing force. A manifestation of an angel, or even the Son of God Himself, would impress the eye and mind, and eventually become dimmed. But the impressions of the Holy Ghost seek deeper into the soul and are difficult to erase." The Holy Ghost, then, should be our temporary guide and should be with us whenever we need Him. He can only be with us for short periods of time without being baptized. But as a person receives and is baptized, He will guide and direct us in our thoughts and actions as we are members of the church, but only if we are living worthily. Having the Holy Ghost as our constant companion brings peace to our hearts and minds and allows us to understand the things of God. I remember an incident when the Holy Ghost guided me as I was touring last summer in Scandinavia. The International Folk Dance Ensemble was to give a fireside for our last evening in Finland before we left for St. Petersburg, Russia. The next morning, we needed to end the tour there. We always appreciate the opportunity to share our testimonies in the way of a fireside, both in word and song, with the saints we stay with in the many areas we visit. Earlier that day, we had been hosted by the American Embassy in Finland. It was a very pleasant encounter, an opportunity to let those there know about our beliefs and what we stood for. One of our leaders was carrying all of the tour funds with him for protection because much money had just been transferred into other currency, and it needed to be somewhat guarded. Inadvertently, the back case was left at a bus stop when we all jumped on for a quick change of transportation to get back in time for the fireside. After we had reached another transfer, the black case was found to be missing. The leader quickly retraced their connections, only to find it was not there, and the rest of the group had to go on to the chapel. We were all downhearted and worried, because going into Russia would not allow us to be without our own funding to finish the tour. We sought out a room in the ward house and knelt in prayer. A prayer was offered in our behalf. It was a somber group indeed. After we left the room, a member of the church who knew about the ordeal asked me what we would do. I said without hesitation, "The case will be found and all will be well." I had such a calm feeling, knowing that our Father in heaven was watching over us. That, however, would not have been my typical response. Losing that much money anywhere would have been disastrous. We went on to ready ourselves for the fireside as planned, but just as we were about to proceed, a man came to the leader who had lost the bag. "A black case has been found and turned into the police, who located a USA address on, called the American Embassy, where we had just been hosted, and the embassy personnel had called us, knowing where we were expected to be that evening. Two young boys of about 13 or 14 found the bag and turned it in. When they saw how much money was inside, they might have been afraid it was gang-related. As is customary in Finland, a certain percentage of any money found is due the finders. What a small price of only $500 was given to the boys, whereas otherwise we could have been penniless." Within a five-hour period, all factors had fallen into place to find and return the money we so badly needed. This truly was a miracle to me. Throughout this ordeal, the Holy Ghost confirmed to my mind that all would be well. What a blessing to have the Holy Ghost to guide and lead us daily. He has given me many answers and helped calm my spirits many times, such as when we were at checkpoints in Russia and our guides were not allowed to meet us at the crossing. Yet we cleared in record time. Or the time our costumes were held in customs and we had to have them for a show that evening and needed the authorities of the countries to soften their hearts and help us. And they did. Or the time in South America when a small temple housing unit had to accommodate all of us for a week because our previous contract had fallen through. But all of the right connections were made anyway. The Holy Ghost helped us in each instance and is only waiting for us to ask in righteousness and faith for the support we are often in need of. To keep our spiritual wells full, we need to give of our waters. The Lord counts on us to be His servants. King Benjamin in Mosiah 2:17 said, "When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." Because we are all so blessed with so much, especially in this land of freedom and opportunity, we must make service our trademark. One can seem to feel the spirit of those who continually serve when help is needed. They have a certain love, caring, and spirit about them. I like the way Sister Okasaki feels about service. Service is the signature of the Savior. In nothing do we resemble the Savior more than in serving others. The Savior was the perfect example of service. His mission was to come to earth to serve others and give His life for us. When on the earth, He served the ignorant, the poor, sinner, and despised. He fed the hungry, healed the sick, raised the dead, and taught the gospel to all those who would follow Him. Even though the Savior was our God and the Lord of this earth, He always performed acts of humble service. We must follow His example. In service, we find ourselves, are more able to love, have more joy, and see our problems as less serious, and we are on the road to gaining eternal life. There are many ways to serve others. We can help physically, socially, economically, spiritually. Throughout our lifetime, all of us will need help from another. We have often heard it said that it is usually through another person that God meets our needs. We must be His servants. What have you done today in the way of a service to another? Have you been the Lord's missionary for good? Have you put others' needs above your own? I have found that the more you give to others, the more that seems to come back full circle. Sister Okasaki counsels us to concentrate on the joy of service, not the job. We need not set unrealistic expectations upon ourselves, but find a balance of what we can give. We alone must choose. It is like the story I began with. If we have faith to keep filling our own spiritual wells, we will have the resources and the desire to help others fill theirs. I truly believe we come closer and more like our Savior and Father in heaven through service. I remember about 2 years ago when the counselor in the stake presidency of the Sunset Heights stake came to visit me one evening. All of you know that's a little worrisome. I had just moved from a home we had sold to a small house while our other home was being built to be completed in March. It was just after Christmas. My daughter had announced that she had accepted her proposal and wished to be married in March. Some of you know well that getting a wedding ready for a bride is no small task. I was going to give a presentation I still needed to prepare for the last of March at a national conference, and I had my regular heavy load as a faculty member for winter semester. The counselor wanted me to serve as the director of a stake dance festival focused on the Israeli culture for the youth. You guessed it, when was it? The end of March. Well, I knew a number of Israeli dances that would fit the occasion, and I felt I could do this calling because of my background. But now was not the time. I had too much to do. He told me to think about it. I did for about 2 minutes. And then I said, I'll do my best. I've had too many blessings from the Lord to shortchange him now. I have never had a calling in the church that went so smoothly. Leaders were called from all the wards to help me teach the dances to the youth. Others helped with the facilities and the equipment. Parents and ward members helped with costumes. And the dance festival came off with a wonderful spirit about it. I learned a very important lesson again. The Lord does want us to serve where we are chosen, and will help those who serve him if they are willing and faithful. I still have young people and leaders mention the festival with fond memories. I even now draw from this experience to keep my own spiritual well full. Sometimes service actually can save lives and the spirits of others. When I was in Sweden last summer, I had a sister tell me a story of service she and others had performed for an orphanage in Russia. The story has been written in the book entitled To Rejoice as Woman, written by Veronica Eklund. I would like to tell a very short version. When the Relief Society had its sexquicentennial anniversary not long ago, sisters from all over the world were challenged to do significant acts of service for their community. The Hayden Ward in Stockholm, Sweden, decided to direct their attention to the plight of the poor in a Russian orphanage in Syktyvkar. When they found out how much the children were in need, they wanted to help. It was far from Stockholm. To get there from Moscow alone took 26 hours on a train. Bishop Bregren approved the project, just as long as all ward members participated. They found that the children in the orphanage had to take shifts of going to school because they lacked warm clothing necessary. When the Swedish ward learned this, everyone in the ward wanted to donate warm clothing and other items that would benefit the children. The response of the saints was overwhelming. They gave a refrigerator, 2 sewing machines, clothes, tools, dishes, shoes, skis, ice skates, toys, and much more. There was so much, they wondered how they could transport all of the items. The estimated cost of $30,000 was too high for chartering the plane. The drive was too far, such as from Salt Lake City to Mexico City. It would also have been very dangerous due to the off-limit military regions and the bandits who would do anything to gain the merchandise. It looked as if the project would die after all. After much prayer and searching, a friend, Svetlana, was found in Moscow, and the goods were shipped to her in 258 boxes. They needed to be guarded, and as usual, the right forms were not there. After obtaining the signed form, she finally persuaded the customs office to let her take the boxes. It was difficult work to transfer the goods by train to Syktyvkar. What an ordeal! The Relief Society president and husband, Ingrid and Mats, who went with her, were overjoyed when they finally saw the 65 children and 15 leaders at the orphanages who received the boxes. Many of the children had no parents, or they had parents who were ill, mentally disabled, or imprisoned, or who had simply left them. The donated items brought great pleasure to all of the children. One 6-year-old girl was overjoyed with a warm, used winter coat. The children, in turn, did a special program of dance, song, and drama. In Russia, the arts are an established part of their culture, and this was their way of saying thank you. That reunion had brought much happiness. The husband and wife returned to Sweden with loving stories to tell all of the ward. The joy did not stop here, however. The ward decided to bring all of the children and leaders to Stockholm for Christmas. What an undertaking! They needed visas, passports, transportation, and special care. All was worked out. And after much preparation, the children arrived on December 26th. The saints were able to share their homes and testimonies with their newly found friends. The Spirit brought all closer together. A local hospital donated its services to help check the children's eyes. They found that two of the children who were wearing glasses didn't need them, and others needed stronger lenses. Some had bleeding sores on their noses because of the heavy glasses they had been wearing. What a difference a light pair of glasses made. When the children left, there was a great deal of joy, members knowing that the children would be much better off from the experience. Yekaterina, one of the leaders at the orphanage, said upon her return, "When we have dark days here, and I can assure you at times it feels like we cannot go on, I gather the children around me and talk about our friends in Sweden. We talk about all you have done for us, and in particular, the joy that radiates when you smile. We believe that joy comes from your faith. Please, please give us your smiles and your faith." This ward in Sweden did truly perform a miracle, one that will be remembered by many for years to come. Those members are an example to all of us when it comes to unselfish service and filling others' spiritual and physical wells. I requested the opening song today to be "I Am a Child of God," sung in three different languages, because I believe every one of us truly is His child. I'm the Sunset Heights 4th Ward Primary Senior Chorister. Last summer, before I left for my Scandinavian tour, I taught the children the song, "I Am a Child of God," in English, Spanish, and Russian, just like you heard Brother Hurtado today. They had fun learning it, and I had hoped that they would have more of a connection with their international brothers and sisters in the church. By the end of the teaching time, they had learned the different language of the song better than I had. But I loved to hear them sing the song with much conviction and love. I was then in for a big surprise when attending a Sunday service in Norway. Our BYU group was in a room with the youth of the ward where they were bearing their testimonies. I was sitting on the back wall, and suddenly I heard a faint, familiar sound. It was the primary children singing, "I Am a Child of God," in Norwegian. What an unexpected treat for me. It brought tears to my eyes to know that we truly are children of our Father in heaven, and He loves us, whoever we are. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is an international church. I never would have believed that by this time in my life, there would be more members of the church outside of the United States than within. We may live in Africa, Asia, Europe, or the Americas, but a loving Father in heaven will never let us stray and has provided a way for us to return to live with Him forever. It is indeed our choice, one that will affect the eternities. I love the hymn we all sang in opening, "Choose the Right." When the choice is placed before you, in the right, the Holy Spirit guides, and its light is forever shining over you when in the right your heart confides. Choose the right, let no spirit of digression overcome you in the evil hour. There's the right and the wrong to every question. Be safe through inspiration's power. Choose the right, there is peace in righteous doing. Choose the right, there's safety for the soul. Choose the right in all labors you're pursuing. Let God and heaven be your goal. Choose the right. Choose the right. Let wisdom mark the way before. In its light, choose the right, and God will bless you evermore. In summary, it is my prayer that we will choose to keep our testimonies growing, to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost, and render service to others. I have a firm testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and of my Father in heaven that I cannot take for granted. I have been blessed greatly because of this knowledge and feel it is a wonderful opportunity and blessing to be here on this campus serving in the many capacities that I do. I feel it is an opportunity for me to be able to follow the Savior more closely. I know that the church was restored in these latter days at a very great price by our prophet, Joseph Smith. I feel grateful that the Holy Ghost sustains me and directs me in my paths and helps me to find righteousness. We are all children of a loving Father. He so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him shall not have perish, but have everlasting life. It is my prayer that each of you will have your wells overflow to serve others and to try to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.